not. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Robinson in motion. Give it to Singletary. On the cut. Penetrates and scores. What an opening drive for the Giants behind Jameis and company. Third down again. Willis holds on. Willis rolls and throws. And it's snatched for the touchdown by Watson. 10th play of the drive out of a run formation. And Wilson slips through and scores to give Green Bay the lead. Love, drop back. Wide open, man. It's the tight end, Josh Whiley. His second game with the Packers, and he's got the touchdown to give them the lead. Fifth body coming for the Giants, pressure. Love with time. Waving receivers around. Off the back foot, he launches it downfield, and it's caught by Savion Williams. Love on a high snap. Floats it. Watson up top. It is caught! Touchdown, Packers! Green Bay's got the lead. They're playing intermediate right now. Here's Winston. Loading up, got a hurry, hit from behind. Ball is out. And this game is over. And Micah Parsons finally gets home. And he is now 9-0 in his career against the New York Giants.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Had we missed this tune? Been missing the bang on the drum. Thank goodness Packers gave us a reason to play it this morning. Getting the victory over the lowly Giants yesterday. 27-20, the final at MetLife Stadium. And look, we certainly can dissect all of the things. But at the end of the day, this team needed a win. They found a way to win. They overcame the adversity, self-inflicted adversity, I would say, for a lot of the day. They overcame the injuries and were able to walk out of there with a win, improving their record to 6-3-1. And I will say, for all of the issues that you might be sitting here going, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? How about this? Jordan Love played so well under the circumstances, Gabe. Like, there were a lot of people wondering if Jordan Love was the guy, if he literally could be the franchise quarterback, if he was the guy who could take you to a Super Bowl. And the way he handled everything, the swirling wind, obviously, which we saw affect the kicking game.
Oh, that's what we're going to say?
Oh, they were saying it was bad. I mean, I obviously wasn't there in New York, but they were saying it was crazy.
Sure, sure. But when you miss by that much...
You think it's more than the kicking game, the wind?
Right? Well, the second one was a sweeper.
I mean, the second one started outside the goalpost and went, it's like when you're trying to throw it on the outside corner and it gets away from you, you just kind of pull it a little bit. That's exactly what happened. Had no chance of going in.
We'll dive into that as the show goes on, but I want to focus on Jordan Love here because I thought that what he did, given the, and I'm going to keep caveating it with given the circumstances, because when your wide receivers are dropping balls at the rate that they were yesterday. What did you say? ESPN Stats and Information had it at 9?
Well, so they've got 5 drops. Five drops.
And I know there were the 4 dropped interceptions. Yeah, those, so I saw like, that number rolling around from an offense and defense standpoint.
I don't think anybody actually tracks drop to interceptions. That's not like an actual thing that people track.
But we saw it with our own eyes.
Yes, correct. And look, if you wanted to be in a harsher grader, you could upgrade that to 6 and give one to Christian Watson for the deep ball stats. ESPN Research gave that a pass breakup for the cornerback.
Oh, nice.
So it was just 5 drops, according to ESPN Research.
But the D-back didn't touch the ball. Or Watson.
Look, Josh,
his mere presence.
Am I here to defend ESPN Research? No, I'm just telling you how they decided to grade it.
I thought maybe, if anything, it would just be an overthrow.
Yeah, no. it was pass breakup.
Okay.
Gave him a pass breakup on that one. But for Jordan, again, I think all those questions probably can still, if you are somebody who's having those questions, Jen, those can still exist. Because Jordan was great yesterday, but we've seen Jordan be great in spurts. But he was fantastic yesterday. He needed to be in order for the Packers to win. And, I mean, he was probably the touchdown pass to Christian Watson is probably the throw of the year for him. But I can't think of one off the top of my head that's better than putting that ball in the spot in which he did with a couple of defenders around Christian Watson probably the catch of the career for Christian Watson, too. Kind of a back shoulder in a one spot where he's got to haul it in. Great contested catch. That's what the Packers needed out of Jordan Love. And I think they should be trusting Jordan even a little bit more. He's got to continue to play it like he did yesterday. That's the Jordan Love we need to see more often. I understand you're not going to play perfect 17 games. You're not going to play like that for 17 games. Nobody does. But we need to see that more often. We need to see that Jordan Love. If the Packers want to be a true player in the NFC, that's the Jordan Love that's got to show up.
And that Christian Watson thing that you mentioned, obviously, that is, he continues to come back from the injury. That was exciting to see. That gives you optimism headed into the future, obviously, when it comes to Christian Watson. But Jordan Love on the go-ahead scoring drive, I saw this on Twitter yesterday. 4 of 6, 71 yards, touchdown. The big play to Savion Williams on 3rd and 10, I think it was 32 yards. The Romeo Doubs on 1st and 20, 13 yards. And the Christian Watson on 2nd and 7 for 17 yards. Those are the explosive plays that we have talked about when you put the ball in Jordan Love's hands that he can make. Now, again, the guy's got to catch the ball. Like, if there's one glaring issue from yesterday's game, it is what's going on with these wide receivers. Gabe, are they just not good enough?
Like
when you start out, right, you expect there to be a transition as guys get used to the speed of a game, as they start to figure out the NFL. But these are not spring chickens. These guys have been around. Well, and it's not like Jordan Love has changed. You know, sometimes you can say, oh, he's putting a lot more velocity on the ball. He's making it a lot harder for you. It doesn't seem like that's the case. So how do you explain these guys dropping the ball as infrequently as they are?
I don't have any explanation. The way it's come up the last 2 weeks. Going into the game on Monday night last week against the Eagles, the Packers had 5 drops all year. They had 5 drops in the game yesterday alone. They had a few drops against the Eagles as well. Like, the last 2 weeks, it has just suddenly come out of nowhere for a team that, obviously, this was an issue last year. The drops were a huge issue up and down the roster last year. It seemed like it had been fixed. It had been corrected that these guys, and then for whatever reason, they just had, and again, if you want to dismiss Bo Melton's drops last week because he hadn't been playing wide receiver, practicing wide receiver, whatever. But Romeo had 2 yesterday. Like, he's been as sure-handed as it gets. You know, just Dontavian Wicks looked like he had, even in the back half of last year, it seemed like Dontavian had fixed those drop issues. Continue to rear its ugly head in the game yesterday. You can't have that many drops and expect to win games. The margin for error in any NFL game, as we saw between, again, the Packers are a playoff team, the Giants are vying for a top pick in the NFL draft. I mean, the margin for error in any NFL game right now is so small, you can't be dropping 5 in a single game.
Well, yesterday, the margin of error or the difference in the game was 3 plays. The Savion Williams throw, the Christian Watson touchdown, and then Evan Williams interception. Without those 3 plays, that game goes a totally different direction.
Well, I hear you on those, and I do think those are impactful, but I don't want to ignore Malik Willis either, right? Jordan Love goes out, Malik Willis comes in. We're not going to spend a ton of time today talking about Malik Willis because I don't think he's a factor going forward, barring an injury to the quarterback. But like the fact that he came in there and gave him that change of pace and was able to score the touchdown, to me, that felt significant because Jordan Love goes out. You don't know how long he's going to be out. If they, you know, crap down their leg in that moment or just, you know, 3 and out their way through that series, I think it feels very different, even if Jordan Love comes back in the game. No?
I mean, sure. I still, like, yeah, that was huge. It also seemed like Matt LaFleur, like, got giddy when Malik Willis came in the game. He said, oh, baby, here comes the fun stuff. and it was effective. That throw to Christian Watson, the ability for him to hold on to that, like, I'm not even 100% sure that ball was intended for Christian Watson. Because it kind of just zipped into his hands and he managed to hold on to it. And those are things we can say he's not the best route runner yet, all that. But the making hands catches and winning contested situations is what we've been looking for Christian Watson a long time.
Oh, like, God. We've been dreaming. 6'4", right. Winning contest, going up and getting balls like he did on both. I mean, again, both those touchdown receptions yesterday.
Yes.
Been dreaming of that.
He's taken a different step than we'd seen previously from him. It's not just the speed and running past everyone. I'll say this now. I'm sick of the Romeo Doubs stuff. Cut it out. I've had enough. 8 targets, 4 catches. Enough.
Figure it out.
So who do you want them targeting instead? I'm assuming it's Christian Watson, and yes. I'm assuming it's Matthew Golden. Continue working.
Yes.
Because Matthew Golden only had 3 targets yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton. So it was pretty obvious to me with Golden, because yeah, I think that Golden needs to be targeted a ton more than 3. And he doesn't get credited for the 4th target, which ends up being a pass interference penalty, because that ends up, you know, just being a penalty play and doesn't really count in the final tally. But the snap count for Matthew Golden was way down yesterday, so I think it's pretty obvious they were kind of easing him back in, that the shoulder wasn't 100%, and they didn't want to overexpose him in the game yesterday. But as he continues to get healthier, yes, Matthew Golden needs to be a lot more involved in this offense. Like, there was the crossing. It was a great man-beater play that picked up a 3rd down to Romeo Doubs where, I mean, Golden kind of cleared everything out, and then they threw it to Romeo, and he had to run and catch to pick up the 1st down. I would have given just about anything for Romeo and Golden to switch spots on that play. Yes. Just run that little crossing route to Matthew Golden and let him catch and run it, because guess what? He's a lot faster than Romeo Doubs. Uh-huh. Like, he's got a little more scoot to him where he catches the ball. And
oh,
he's
is
able 4.29
fast? I keep forgetting if 4.29 is fast. Just like Matt LaFleur apparently keeps forgetting.
It seems like and maybe I'm jumping the gun, maybe he hasn't proven it enough, but if you just switch those two in the routes you're giving them, I feel like the offense looks a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel like they are giving, because of the trust level, now I think you have reason to question the trust level with the way we saw. I mean, that was one of Romeo's worst games that we saw yesterday.
But there were a couple of times, Josh, where it's part of it's on Jordan, too. Like, Jordan just, for whatever reason, still blindly trusts Romeo
Correct.
Doubs.
Right, and that's why I'm saying give those opportunities to Golden so he doesn't have the choice.
Well, but I don't know if he throws the ball to Golden in some of those situations. Because there were a couple of routes yesterday where he's running this in-breaker, and yeah, he's got a little bit of a guy on his hip, but if Jordan throws the ball when it's supposed to be thrown, like he does with Romeo, like, Golden's got an opportunity. So some of that is on Love as well, because he's got a trust in Romeo that Romeo hasn't held up on his end.
Well, but I was going to say this. It's a little tricky, though, Gabe, because, you know, these guys, these quarterbacks, they want to have the security blanket. They want to have one guy in their arsenal that when stuff's breaking down out there, they can look over. It's the Davante Adams for Aaron Rodgers, right? They can look over. And I think, unfortunately, for Jordan Love, that has been Romeo Doubs. So the argument could be made that, yes, let's pivot to somebody else as the security blanket because he's not holding up his end of the donkey.
Well, what do you do when your security blanket's got a bunch of holes?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to find
Not really.
Blanket.
It's not really security.
You gotta find a new blanket.
Security doesn't exist.
Before we move on here, I want to hear from Matt LaFleur yesterday on Jordan Love. He called him gritty. He called him tough. Don't tell Chewy, but it ain't dainty. Here's Matt LaFleur.
It was so gritty and tough. He was under duress. It felt like quite a bit, and I thought he did a really nice job of just giving guys opportunity to make plays. Certainly had a lot of drops today that we were able to obviously overcome, but just the mentality, because, you know, when you hear your quarterbacks in the locker room, that's not a great feeling, you know, and for his ability to come back and play the way he did, I was really proud of him.
So Jordan Love making big-time throws, protecting the football, out-dueling Jameis Winston, which I know doesn't feel like a huge accomplishment, but you knew when Jameis Winston was in there that he was going to throw the ball. Like, it was going to be a different offense from the Giants than it was with Jackson Dart. And look, I actually really like Jameis. I don't want him to be the quarterback, but I actually, like, every time he's out there, I enjoy watching Jameis Winston play football.
It's hard not to like and root for Jameis. Like, everything you hear about him as a teammate, all the pregame speeches that he makes. But it was also obvious that Mike Kafka wanted to limit Jameis throwing as much as possible because they ran the ball 38 times. 38 times. In a game where, again, he was tied a lot, but he also knew that Jameis was going to put some up there and did, that the Packers did not capitalize on until the very end when Evan Williams finally held on to one of those interceptions.
Obviously, the Packers dealing with injuries, that's a big reason why you are seeing the personnel out there that you're seeing. And the injury bug did bite again yesterday. Josh Jacobs goes out with an injury early. Fortunately, it seems as though he dodged a bullet. It is not a serious injury, and they expect him to be back. I don't think they gave a timeline on it, but they don't expect him to be out for an extended period with the knee injury. That is very good news. Let us know how you feel about the win yesterday. It did feel a little like especially early in the game. I was like, what's going on, man? Do they know that the game has started? the Packers know that we're playing in this game? Because we had talked about all the dynamics, all the narratives surrounding the Giants and a get-back game and having lost their head coach and how that oftentimes gives a team a burst, a boost. And it seemed to do that early on. What was your reaction to yesterday's game? And is Jordan Love now the reason that the Packers are winning games? 800-990-3776. Let us know. We're going to keep talking about Jordan Love this morning, but there's a lot of other things to address. We've mentioned the drops already today. And what about the defense? Was that the defensive performance that you have come to expect from the Green Bay Packers? We'll talk about all of that and more as we roll on here on a Victory Monday. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That's right. It is Victory Monday, brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Victory Monday also brought to you by Callen, from kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows. Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com. And brought to you by National Liquor Mart, 16th and National, right here in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 to 9 daily, your game day headquarters all season long.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You can find out what all the screaming is about at Pickett's Haven Metro Market Store. Screaming Sicilian Pizzas, BOGO. Buy one, get one right now at Pickett's Haven and Metro Market Stores. Deal so good, you'll scream for more. Screaming Sicilian BOGO starts today, goes through November 30th at your local Pickett's Haven and Metro Market Stores. Screaming good savings. This is a perfect time for me because I just ran out of the latest Palermo's pizza in my freezer. Time to stock up. You're going to need a bigger freezer for the Screamin' Sicilian BOGO sale going on right now. Pick and save in Metro Market stores.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy talking about the Packers' victory over the Giants yesterday, improving them to 6-3-1. And now they start a gauntlet of division opponents. They'll play the Vikings, they'll play the Lions, and they'll play the Bears. Then a brief reprieve before they get back to some division games as well to wrap up the season. The drop problem is very perplexing and concerning for me. Because to your point, Gabe, that you said in the first segment of the show, they hadn't been dropping the ball. We thought maybe they had cleaned that up, that was something that wasn't going to show its ugly face, rear its ugly head. And then it sort of started to peek out a little bit against the Eagles, and you were like, that's something that really could hurt them as the season continues. And then yesterday, it was drop city. And I guess I'm trying to figure out why this is something that shows up. Is it a nerves thing? Is it a talent thing? Is it a ball placement thing? I tend to believe that if a ball hits you either in the hands or in the chest, like it's a catchable ball. You know, some of these guys have better radiuses than others, bigger radiuses than others. But how do you explain this unit struggling with the drops again?
I would say it was a lack of concentration at times. I mean, for Romeo, maybe the first one got into his head, and the second one, because again, it's just right there. But I don't know if he's trying to, it looked like he was kind of turning his head upfield a little quickly. So in his mind, he had already caught the ball instead of catch the ball, turn up the field, you know, go through that process. And for Luke Musgrave, I guess we're lucky that one was a drop because it was initially ruled a fumble. You know, it's different for everybody else. It's different for every player. I mean, Romeo, I think, again, the first one probably got into his head. He had one last week. So Romeo went from no drops to three in the last 2 weeks. For every guy, it ends up being a little bit different. And it's hard to kind of put your finger on why. Because obviously, whatever they were doing early in the season, it was working. And now you drop one, I guess you start to question yourself.
Can't help but wonder if it's a pressure thing, right? As the pressure ratchets up a little bit, then you start, you know, overthinking instead of just doing. And I wonder if that's something that is plaguing these young receivers. Of course, you have to talk about the youth as well, right? These are not seasoned veterans who have been out there and can kind of rely on.
This is Romeo's fourth year.
No, I know. Well, listen, I know that. I know that they are, but I'm saying, when you talk about guys who've been in the league, it's like, I've done this. When the pressure gets high, you don't succumb to it. right? Like that, I don't know if that's an issue. Again, we're trying to figure it out, man. We're trying to figure out the mystery of why this team is dropping balls and why they're putting Jordan Love in these tough spots. Let's talk about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit betterhelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Let's take a listen to the quarterback talking about some of those self-inflicted wounds in yesterday's game.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously frustrating, but it's a team sport, man. It takes everybody out there making plays. And you know, you just got to stay confident in these guys, and I always stay confident with my guys that we'll find ways to make the next play. Like I said, it's not going to be perfect. You want to make every play. Sometimes it doesn't go right. You know, sometimes I'll throw an interception, have a turnover, and I got to have that same mindset to be able to flush it, move on, and you know, the opportunities are going to keep coming. So you got to go make that next one.
Really love that attitude from the quarterback, though. Right?
Like,
but we talk about ownership, and he's saying, I'm not perfect. I throw interceptions. I get it. You got to have that next play mentality. I get it. I don't think it does the team any good for him to go out there and be like, yeah, a bunch of bums. Can you imagine what my QBR would have been if they would have actually caught the ball? You know, so I think, again, from a leadership standpoint, which is something we have talked about with Jordan Love, is we want to continue to see him evolve as a leader. I thought he handled that as well as he could.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say anything else.
The previous quarterback wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but he also had four MVPs.
Well,
I feel like when you've got the hardware to back it up, it's a little bit different. But we've heard Chewy talk about that how many times? You know, like if Chewy would drop one with Brett, hey, come on, Chewy, we need you, would be about the most he would get. Because, well, again, when it came to Brett, he threw a lot of interceptions. And Brett knew that there was probably an interception around the corner. You can't get on your teammates too much in that situation. Yeah, I mean, I think Jordan is probably just as frustrated with it as well, but knows that, hey, it's done. It's over with. We got to try to pick it up on the next play. And hopefully this is just a 2-week aberration. Because the crazy part is the five drops that they had going into the Eagles game, only one was by a wide receiver. Only one was by a wide receiver. Running backs and tight ends accounted for the other four. So for whatever reason, these last 2 weeks, wide receivers just have not been able to hold on to the football. Three in for the receivers in each of the last 2 weeks.
But it is football 101. You got to protect the football. And Luke Musgrave did not do a good job of doing that yesterday. I saw a lot of people turning on him on social media. Josh, are you out on Luke Musgrave, or are you like, well, what else are we going to do?
No, I'm not out on Luke Musgrave. Hey, Matt LaFleur, he's not Tucker Kraft.
Oh, you know who is out on Luke Musgrave?
Yeah, he played two snaps. Great.
I think he played two snaps in the second half?
Yes. If you're not going to use him the way we've seen him used in the past, then I don't think you should be using him. Put Wiley out there. He's like more of the Josiah DeGuara thing, the thing you needed so badly, Matt LaFleur, in your previous offense, the way it was run. If you're not going to stretch him down the seam and allow him to use his speed, then what do we do? He's not a broken tackles yak guy. And no matter how hard you try to make him that, he's not going to be that. It takes a head coach to recognize these are the guys they have and what they're good at. And maybe you want to use him because you think he deserves opportunity, then find ways to use him. Use him how he's best used. Not just stick him into, well, Tucker Kraft was here, let's just see what happens.
I don't know. I didn't have a problem with the way they used Musgrave yesterday. They gave him the opportunity. He didn't come through for him. Benched him in the second half. We'll see what happens this upcoming week against Minnesota. But I'm guessing we see more of Wiley and Fitzpatrick.
Have you seen enough from them? Have you seen enough from Fitzpatrick and Wiley where you think like he could step into that role? And again, nobody is going to be Tucker Kraft. I want to be very clear on that. We're not saying, can you just, you know, invasion of the body snatchers here. But from a starting tight end standpoint, which of those three would you prefer to see on the field?
Oh, probably Fitzpatrick and Wiley are more versatile in terms of, if you have Musgrave out there, I think it's pretty painfully obvious that it's probably going to be a pass play because you don't trust him blocking.
Well, you don't say. So predictability having the Packers offense, never seen that before.
Having those other two out there, I think, helps out tremendously. And I think we're going to see those two be out there more often. And maybe when they go to their three tight end personnel, that's about the only time you see Luke Musgrave out there. And unless they think they see something where they can take advantage of Musgrave, you know, kind of going and dominating more of the middle of the field against Minnesota, but that's also tough when teams are playing cover two. You got to take advantage of more of the outside part of that zone between the corner and the safety up top. And to Josh's point, that's just not where Luke Musgrave really makes his living.
Who do you want to see on the field there in that position, Joshy?
I want to see Darren Kennard more. That's what I want to see, him playing that extra extra tight end offensive lineman. They're fine. They are with John Fitzpatrick, Wiley. I mean, Wiley's been on the team for 2 weeks. I can't really say it. I don't think Matt LaFleur...
Found the end zone, though, yesterday.
Yes. I don't think Matt LaFleur knows what he has in him necessarily yet because they've barely seen him, and as we know, practices aren't the same. I want to see them switch up their approach. I want to see them try and be a little more multiple. Hey, Tucker Kraft was here and it was really good when we ran it, but he's not. So we have to find new ways to get different guys involved in different ways. To me, you still want to run your base. You still have that. And that's where you use Fitzpatrick or Wiley. Use them interchangeably. I don't care, for whatever it's worth. But you also need more exotic packages, different packages. You need Chris Brooks on the field. You need Kennard on the field. You just need to do different things to get your offense going. Because starting off slow and stalling out and trying to do things because they worked 4 weeks ago, this ain't the same team. Very different. The complexion of the team's changed. You need to play different.
Well, for those keeping score at home, 729 for Joshy's first Chris Brooks mention on the show.
They probably should start. I mean, they should probably run the offense.
I imagine
great.
It will
I can't believe they just don't feed him the
did
football.
You see
20
him
plus touches.
On that Savion Williams catch? Woo-hoo! He's blocking like a guard out there. Oh, unbelievable. Probably.
Maybe they should put him at guard.
Hey, if it works,
this goes back,
I'm back to what I said.
Let's try it.
Let's try it.
I'm not going to lie, Josh. About over this Aaron Banks thing.
Jeez, goodness gracious. Yeah, that's to me is what's been frustrating with Matt LaFleur the whole time is the run game isn't working the way you want it to. The pass game is being affected greatly by your inability to pass block. And it seems like they're just going, well, guess what, guys? Go out there and win your one. They can't. They stink right now. Go do something different. Try something.
Put them in a position to succeed. Good stuff by you guys. St. Kate meet St.
Hello.
Kate meet St. Nick.
Hey.
Wow. Jen Latta letting you know that the holidays are in full swing at St. Kate the Arts Hotel, where every celebration shines a little bit brighter. You can browse unique gifts at the holiday marketplace, gather for unforgettable Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dining, and of course, don't miss Brunch with Santa. It's a family favorite filled with joy, treats, and holiday magic. Celebrate the season at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Visit stkatearts.com/holidays for all of the festive details.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? I cannot talk highly enough about the folks over at Accutrans, a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Accutrans coming through for us as our high school football team had to go up to the Green Bay area for the state semifinals on Friday night. Two big buses of parents, and they had a fantastic time. You know why? Because booking is easy, safe, and dependable. You can visit their website at AccutransGroup.com to get a quote or book a reservation today. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation wherever you need to go this holiday season. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, Josh, you put it on the YouTube stream poll. How are you feeling after the Packers win against the Giants? The same, better, or worse? And I think this is a little bit of nuance here, Gabe, because I think you can feel the same, but feel better or worse about different things, right? I feel better today about Jordan Love than I did last week, because I don't think Jordan played very well last week. I don't think he played horrible. I don't think it was time to bench him for Malik Willis, like some people out there were saying, but I don't think he played well. Yesterday, with the game on the line, with an opportunity to get a much-needed win and stop the bleeding, Jordan Love was the reason that they walked out of MetLife Stadium with the victory, so I feel better about him. But I feel worse about a few other things. I feel worse about the way that the receivers played, and when you want Jordan Love to have success, unfortunately, he's going to need those guys to play better against a lot of the teams on the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, but overall, I feel better. Because you won. Like, you still were able to go out and get a win, and that was huge. Just getting a win, just have something that you can now start to build off of. Yes, the receivers did not play well yesterday in terms of outside of Christian Watson. The receivers didn't particularly play well. I would throw Matthew Golden onto that list because he had a big catch and also had a big pass interference penalty that doesn't show up in the stats and can be easily forgotten about, but it's a big chunk play that certainly helped out the team. But I feel better about the team overall. I think that they're going to figure out the run issues. It's really weird to me that Devontae Wyatt only played 47% of the snaps because I don't recall any, like, on the TV broadcast, hey, he's hurt. Here's why he's not in there.
I think his injury is nagging.
Okay.
Because Jason Wilde told the story, if you remember, about Lucas Van Ness avoiding him and that he was in the treatment, in the room getting treatment with Devontae. Yeah. So I think they're doing sort of a bring him back because I think he's that damn important.
Oh, look at you, Sherlock Holmes over there, picking up some breadcrumbs, putting a little theory together. I kind of like it.
He is really, to me, the biggest key behind the run defense, yes, which wasn't very good yesterday. So when he's not in there, it's so much easier to run against the Packers because, again, the downfall of getting Micah Parsons is you have... Well, you lost your biggest body in Kenny Clark, and your only other big wide body is Devontae Wyatt. So when he's not in there, it just becomes that much harder for the team to stop the run. So hopefully he continues to get healthier. I'm going to feel fine about that. But again, they won the game yesterday. That's a good step in the right direction. Just some momentum where you can start building off of the offense. Yes, the drops weren't great, but Jordan played great. And they finally, in the second half, started to look like they were getting a little bit more rhythm within that offense, where he was getting some time. We would bring up the Savion Williams play, and you know, again, Joshy taking victory lap on Chris Brooks aside. Like, they gave him time. Yes. Like, the offensive line looked good in the second half in terms of giving Jordan Love time after it seemed like he was running for his life, which unfortunately led to an injury for him. And we'll have to see how much he's going to look. Obviously, he's going to play through the shoulder injury because he played and finished the game yesterday. But it also doesn't seem like it's absolutely nothing. It seems like it could be something he may have to deal with for the next couple of weeks and just manage some pain in whatever happened to that left shoulder. I feel better about this team going forward because they won the game yesterday. They found a way to win.
You mentioned Devontae Wyatt, so let's talk about that defense, because besides the Micah Parsons end of the game, which, again, your big players made big plays when they needed to, the defense did give up big chunk plays. And there was poor tackling on display yet again. We talked about Jameis Winston, how we like him. We wanted him to have success, obviously, except against the Packers. And he had probably more success than a guy should have stepping in the way that he did.
Well, because the Packers, they dropped 1,000 interceptions.
Four, I think, is the number I saw. But yes,
roughly it's 500 or 600.
Give or take. All right. I don't feel like I exaggerated that much. I mean, but is it time to have a conversation about Adrian Cooper?
He has a lot of missed tackles recently. I can say that for sure.
I think he's number two in the league right now. For a guy that we were expecting a lot from this year after what he flashed last year, thinking about somebody taking that step from year one to year two, he has not done that.
I think
that's that. Again, we were talking about run defense. Like, he needs to step up. He needs to stop missing tackles.
What is it? Is he over pursuing? Are his angles off? What's the issue?
I mean, on that big one that we like saw happen, that seemed like an over pursuit. I mean, the thing about him is he's still making splash plays on occasion. It's just the ones you need him to make, and the ones where it seems like it's easier than you would anticipate, he makes it difficult on himself. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's one of those, hey, he's not 100% healthy and we just don't know it and they're just hiding it.
But the splash plays are great, Josh. But if you're giving a big splash play the other way, like, that doesn't do me any good either.
I'm not defending that. I'm just saying it's weird that a guy who can, like, streak across your screen and make an incredible play then has a guy dead to rights in front of him and just ends up whiffing. I can't figure it out. To me, the defense yesterday was pretty clear. They weren't super worried about the run because they thought they could take advantage of Jameis Winston and his mistakes. The problem is, every opportunity you had to take advantage of his mistakes, you failed. The McDuffie one where he kind of blew up, was it CV there? That one...
No, it was Bullard.
Bullard, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Bullard's just going to catch it like a punt. Like, he was just sitting right there,
yes,
and then he gets lit up by his own guy.
McDuffie you're talking about, right?
Yes.
John Bullard and McDuffie,
yes,
and they collided on the field?
It was pretty clear that the whole sagging off of the guys in the flat and then working their way back was clearly part of the game plan. They were doing that all day, and it kept going off their hands. If they turn two of those into interceptions, I mean, the game's...
Blowout city.
Right, yeah. It's so different, and... I can't really, I'd love for the cornerbacks to catch the ball there, but how mad can I get about missed opportunities? It's not the same to me as the drops on offense.
Well, yeah.
That to me was the bigger issue, but I think the game plan was solid there because it's Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. They're not going to eat you alive. They were effective.
Almost did.
But it was sort of the... Cover your ears.
Don't dare.
It was sort of...
Don't you dare. It is a victory Monday. Don't you bleeping dare.
It was sort of a bend, don't break.
Wait a minute.
You
heard...
Son of a...
Time out. I think I heard one of the defensive players say that in the locker room. Was it Xavier McKinney? Somebody said, bend, don't break, Joshy. So this isn't just a Josh DiMaggio.
Didn't realize Joe Barry was back in town.
I didn't say it. You said it.
Didn't say it.
You said it.
You led the horse to water and then dunked his face in it.
I know, but who was it? Somebody did say Ben, don't break. Now I got to look it up. One of the Packers defensive players.
You look
players.
It up. It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by Callen. From kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin Fiberglass replacement windows, Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com. Victory Monday also brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. And Victory Monday brought to you by National Liquor Mart, 16th and National in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 to 9 daily. Your game day headquarters all season long.
I figured it out. It was Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon said it was a bend, don't break game for the Green Bay Packers defense. We're out there making plays. We had some challenges, but at the end of the day, we won the game. The defense, as you guys mentioned, dropped four potential interceptions. Carrington Valentine had two that hit him in the hands. Keyshawn Nixon had a deep ball. And then, of course, Xavier McKinney he got his finger in it, right? It was towards the end zone, right? And Keyshawn Nixon should have had the interception, but then they showed the replay and showed that Xavier McKinney got a hand on it. And then, as you mentioned, when Javon Bullard and Isaiah McDuffie ran into each other on the field. Let me ask you this before we go to break. Are you confident that because they were in the right places, that those interceptions will come as the season goes on? That the next time that, you know, a quarterback gives them something like that, they're going to take advantage of it?
Not necessarily. But I also don't think you're going to have too many more games where you have that many opportunities. Right? The reason why Jameis Winston, because
his reputation precedes him.
there are a couple of really good throws that Jameis made yesterday. Just rears back, dots it in a really tight window. But the reason why Jameis Winston was a third string quarterback before being elevated to the backup quarterback and eventually starting because Jackson Dart was hurt yesterday is, well, what we saw yesterday. The turnovers are a huge issue. And when you turn the ball over at the rate that Jameis does, you're not a starter in this league. And I don't think the Packers are going to have literally five opportunities at interceptions in another game this season.
We asked you on the YouTube stream, how are you feeling after the Packers win against the Giants? The same, better, or worse? And we got reaction rolling in on the Carbless talking text line. Don says, a win is all that makes me feel better. The offense took a hit yesterday at running back, and Musgrave proved LaFleur won't use him correctly. We still have a good backup quarterback, though. That from Don in the 262. Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Tom in Chicago. Oh, boy, this better not be a gloat about the Bears. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'm a diehard Packers fan.
Thank goodness.
I hate the fact that the Bears are in the first place. I want to ask you guys. So, like, I know, like, obviously you guys watch basketball, and you know, like, a team like the Thunder and, like, the Rockets and other teams are, like, physical and, like, and you see their athleticism and their ability, physicality to play defense versus teams like the Lakers, the Warriors, and other teams where they don't have the bodies, the physicality, the athleticism, and they have to use way more of the mental and use more of their brains. But as the course of the game goes on, the Thunder and those younger teams who have bodies and physicality just outweighed because, like, you can only use your mental and your brain so much. So I was wondering, with the defense in the late of the game, are those mental mistakes or those physical mistakes of just not tackling, not getting off blocks, and just like Edgerrin Cooper just not filling the hole and then inside just getting blocked?
Let me ask you this, Tom, as you sit here and wind through it, I'll let Gabe think on that for a second. Do you think they're more mental or physical? Which would you prefer? Would you prefer that the talent just isn't there, or would you prefer that they are talented guys who are out there sort of with their head in the clouds?
I would hope it's more just like it's fixable. Like, hey, either you're just not waiting, because like there's a play with Edgerrin Cooper where like there's a running back and he's going to go the hole to the left side of the guy or the right side, and he just goes into the guy because I think he wants to. He wants to make the play. He doesn't want to make the guy make the first step. He wants to beat him there. And I think sometimes it's like you want to try to outthink the opponent and you want to make the first attack versus you want to let it sit and then use your athleticism. So I'm hoping it's just mental, but like, hey, footwork, like we talk about.
Gabe, what do you think?
I think in the fourth quarter, a lot of it was they were tired. Yeah. When you take a look at what happened in that second half.
Well, but time of possession was out of control as well, right? 35-25, so the defense was on the field a lot.
And I think that was mostly in the second half. Because the Packers come out, they score the touchdown right away, and you're feeling good, but that took less than 4 minutes. And then the Giants, yeah, they didn't score. They turned it over. 16 plays, 56 yards, 946. And when we talk about complimentary football, the Packers did the exact opposite and went 3 and out and punted it back to the Giants, who put together a 15-play, 8-minute drive to score a touchdown and tank the lead. And then had a 10-minute drive or 10-play drive that ended in the interception at the end. I mean, the number of plays run in the second half in favor of the Giants is outrageous.
Yeah. To me, it's physical. They wore down.
Yeah.
And it's not a good thing, but the way you stop that is you sustain some longer drives. You keep the ball away. You give those guys a blow. And they could help themselves, too. Get off the damn field.
The Packers, ran 19 plays in the second half.
And how many points did they score?
In the second half?
Yeah.
Scored 14.
I mean,
what else could you ask for?
It's almost a point to play.
The efficiency.
It's a pretty good ratio.
However,
why can't we do that all the time?
I don't know if you want to do that all the time, because then you're leaving your defense hang out to dry when they're running 44 plays in the second half, or 42 plays, excuse me.
And especially with what teams are now doing, they clearly know that you can run the ball on the Packers. Those guys having to sustain the physical nature of taking blows and them running at you is going to wear it. You have to get off the field more. And that's the one thing you could say critical is their inability to get off the field if they're down.
And that's where dropping the interception really hurts.
Yes.
Because you had those opportunities. Maybe not necessarily in stopping him on third down, and you wish you could play better there, but literally Jameis gave you opportunities to get off the field, and you refused to take them.
800-990-3776. Keep reacting to the Packers' win yesterday over the Giants. Here's what I'll say. If that game existed in a vacuum, if the previous two games had not resulted in what they resulted in, which were losses, I sit here and go, this was a win-win situation. Because you win the game against the Giants, and also you have been reminded of the things you need to do better. You have been shown, hey, we're not all that great. We won, which is good, but we got things we need to clean up. And coaches often talk about how in the middle of a season, when guys are getting a little complacent, when the season is wearing on you, you're looking at the calendar going, oh man, we still have half the season left to go. That can be a good thing. But on the heels of the previous two losses, it does feel like some of these issues are plaguing them. It doesn't feel like they're one-offs. It feels like this is just who they are. And I guess my hope is that over the next, is it eight games left? Do they have eight games left? Seven games left of the season? I guess my hope is maybe we clean up one per week. Maybe we just start working on, hey, can our guys catch the ball? Hey, can our defensive backs not drop interceptions? Hey, can our run defense continue to improve? Josh Jacobs is injured, obviously. How does that affect the run game and how they use him and, you know, some of the other guys they have out there as well? Like clean up one thing next week. That's what I want to see. I got to figure out which one I need it to be. Because Jordan Love, as we mentioned at the start of the show, he came to play. And with all of the circumstances that were not in his favor, found a way to lead this team to victory. That's a very good thing. That is something you can hang your hat on. That is something you can be optimistic about as the season goes on. But it is not all rainbows and sunshine here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, even with a victory Monday. Gabe?
Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more with our friends at Events by Design. The creative team at Events by Design, they truly enjoy the work that they do, and they can help you again retain top talent by putting out a lot of these appreciation parties or brand activations, whether it's something large, whether it's something small. I've seen them do it both. I've seen them put on huge events, big fancy events like the Buck Soiree, or just add a little to our golf outing by playing music on the 14th tee and having everybody have walk-up music. Whatever you're looking for when it comes to your event, just reach out to Events by Design. See if they can help you. And it's easy. You just search online for Events by Design so you can retain top talent by investing in that culture today. Events by Design. They design. You party.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take
Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. November, BetterHelp is encouraging everyone to reach out. Make sure you check on your friends, make sure you connect with loved ones, and remind the people in your life that you are there. And here's the good news. They'll remind you that they are there as well. If you find yourself stuck or struggling, BetterHelp can help. Their therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. They've got this short questionnaire that you fill out. It helps identify your needs and your preferences. And then they use their dozen plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate to match you with a therapist who can help you through whatever you're going through. 30,000 therapists. That's 30,000 therapists, making them one of the world's largest online therapy platforms. And they've got great reviews over there on the App Store. So if you are struggling and you want to find help, BetterHelp is the way to go. Call #250. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout and you'll get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp, because we're all better with help.
I think anytime a player doesn't, especially of his magnitude, but anytime a player doesn't finish a game, you're always concerned about the welfare of them.
Josh Jacobs goes out with an injury yesterday. But the good news is, according to all the reports that were coming out of 1265, it doesn't seem like it is going to be a long injury that will keep him out for an extended period of time. But we did talk last week a little bit about just the way that the team goes with Josh Jacobs and the run game. And I wouldn't say that the offense was better without him. I think that's going a step too far. But it looked different, Gabe. And it sort of forced Matt LaFleur to do what y'all have been clamoring for him to do, which is put the ball in Jordan Love's hands and let Jordan Love go out there and run the offense. Is that one takeaway you saw from the Josh Jacobs injury?
They're going to have to pivot what they do, even if it's just a week or two, that Josh Jacobs is out. And I'm sure we'll get some sort of update from Matt LaFleur. But when somebody like Josh Jacobs, who's a veteran in this league, because, I mean, we've seen this before where guys haven't been able to finish the game, like Christian Watson early in his career as he was learning to play in the league, and then suddenly Christian would still be able to go the next week. You hear Chewy talk about all the time, if you can't finish the game, chances of you playing the next week are slim. And to me, when you have a veteran like Josh Jacobs, who's obviously played through some things over the course of his career, if he can't finish the game, I'm guessing he's out at least a week. I'm guessing the soonest we see him is Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions. So at the very least for this week, you're going to have to pivot what you do. And I saw some things that I've been clamoring for. First, it happened with Malik Willis, where you saw that boot action. But there was also the boot action with Jordan, where he was able to complete one of the nice passes that he had to Romeo Doubs off that action. Matt had to pivot last year when Jordan got hurt in week one. And it was for the betterment of the team. I think they were a better team last year with the way that they pivoted. This year, it's different. The offensive line is different. I think if they pivot now, I think it's going to be for the betterment of the team. Not to say that Josh Jacobs can't be an important piece of this team. I just think that the offense is going to be better if it revolves around Jordan Love and not revolve around Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't think Emmanuel Wilson is more talented, a better running back or anything. What I do think is what we saw happen, guess who was under center more? Guess who had play action working? Guess who trusted Jordan Love to go out there and win them a football game. It's not that the Packers are a more talented team without Josh Jacobs, but I will say I believe they're a better offense without Josh Jacobs, because it forces Matt into the more efficient, better run offense that is going to gain you yards and score points. We saw it happen basically the moment Josh Jacobs went out. Matt LaFleur looked around and said, oh crap, we got to do something different now. And guess what? Different worked. And different is what we've been asking for now for like 6 weeks. Your run game is not as good. And it's not Josh Jacobs' fault. It's your offensive line. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The offensive line ain't going to get fixed. We can't do anything about that offensive line. It is what it is at this point. And to me, it's very simple. Because you lost Josh Jacobs, Matt LaFleur said, well, we have to throw out that crap we've been doing. And the one thing that they were always good at and we begged for them to keep doing was the under center play action stuff. And we saw it come back and we saw it get chunk gains and we saw the wide receivers open and we saw them moving the ball efficiently.
So it sounds like, Joshy, you would be okay with Josh Jacobs, if he needs the time to recover from this injury, potentially missing next week's game against the Vikings, who we know are an inferior opponent, right? We all saw it yesterday. We all see it.
Stink PU.
Right.
JJ McCarthy.
You would be okay
holy crap
with Josh Jacobs having to heal from this knee injury and seeing how the offense and the run game can run with Emmanuel Wilson.
Yes, because I don't, like, I want to be clear. I don't think Emmanuel Wilson is particularly special.
I do think it is important that we detail that, because I did have someone come up to me the other day and was like, do you guys really think the Packers would be better without Josh Jacobs? And I was like, no. There's a lot of nuance here in this argument, in this narrative.
And that's why I keep repeating it, because they are more talented with Josh Jacobs. It's just the way the offense is run. And what I think could be the positive, if he does miss a week or two, is Matt LaFleur looks around and goes, wow,
Things are running a lot more better when we do it this way. Sorry, Josh, I know you like to run out of shotgun, but you have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because our offense functions better. We put points on the board. We put our defense in a better spot every week. It is how this offense should run and how this team is going to win football games.
Yeah, it's just it's a fit.
Yes.
It's how does he fit within the structure of the offense, Matt? And it's not just Matt. I would go as far to say Jordan wants
yes.
to run.
Correct.
Because Jordan Love looks better when they go yes. under center more.
Certainly more comfortable, yes. The other detail that we should pay attention to is the Marshawn Lloyd element of it. I think Rob Domofsky reported, was it last week, that Lloyd and Jaden Reed had both ramped up their rehab.
Yep.
Could we see him out on the field within the next couple of weeks? I mean, again, the timing would be great if he was healthy enough to step in with Josh Jacobs out, but I don't think that's realistic.
I mean, unless Josh is missing a significant amount of time, if they punt on Marshawn Lloyd this year, I'm completely fine with it. Like I don't, he's played how many regular season snaps has he played? 7 in his career? It's less than 10. I'm pretty sure.
Two significant injuries in those snaps.
So I know I gave you a hard time about Chris Brooks last week, Chris, or Joshy, but
and today.
Well, that's because Joshy thinks he should be like the offense shouldn't be run around. His offense should be revolved around Chris Brooks.
No, that's editorializing.
It's what you said, at least my recollection of it. But you know you can trust Chris Brooks in certain situations.
Right.
I know the situations that I can trust Chris Brooks in.
Uh-huh.
I know the situations you can trust Emmanuel Wilson in. In this important stretch now for the Green Bay Packers, these next 3 weeks against divisional opponents. And by the way, it's basically divisional opponents from here on out, and then two tough teams from the AFC West. Or yeah. excuse me,
Ravens
one from the AFC
Broncos.
West and then one from the North. You're looking at two potential division winners in the AFC the rest of the way. These are tough games. I'm okay if we punt on Marshawn Lloyd for the rest of this year and hope he's healthy next year, because I don't want to throw him in the fire in an important spot and have him fumble the ball, miss a hole, miss a blocking assignment that ends up being a huge part of the game. I don't know what you can trust him with. And the other guys in his absence have performed well. So unless it ends up being some sort of long-term injury for Jacobs and you need that third running back, I'm okay if they don't activate him at all this year.
Would you be shocked to learn that the Packers are in the bottom half of the league in rushing stats as a team?
No.
No. No. Nope. They've been terrible all year. I mean, the only thing that Josh Jacobs has done well this year is find the end zone. He's the only other running back other than JT that's got double-digit touchdowns.
For a team, and obviously the injury to Jordan Love played a huge role in this, but for a team that had more rushing yards, they ran the ball more last year than they threw the ball.
Correct.
Again. Probably by necessity on some level. It is fascinating that this year it has taken such a significant step backwards. And also, we haven't really seen the results of it, right? We've sit here and said, put the ball in Jordan Love's hands. Well, you can make the argument that they have not been running the ball as well as they did last season, but the results aren't there either. I got to be careful when I say that, though, guys. I keep reminding myself, they're 6-3-1, Jen. They're 6-3-1. Yes, those losses have been bad. Yes, the tie was annoying, but they're 6-3-1. They're still in a decent spot, and they can make a ton of hay over the next few weeks if they can win these games against division opponents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Detroit basically did the same thing that Green Bay did against Philadelphia last night, if you paid attention at all to that game. The Vikings aren't very good either. Like, this is the state of the NFC isn't like it is over in the AFC. At all. Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, the Jewelry Center, of course, has to be the first in. If you go there first, it's going to be the last place you stop. Whether it's naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. And maybe you don't exactly know what kind of ring that special someone wants. But if they have a Pinterest board or ideas, bring those to the Jewelry Center. And that great team of experts going to help bring your ideas from dream to reality. Learn more about the engagement ring selection or any other services. Shop TJC.com or stop in today, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. And when you head over to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.